I hope you remember that when we commence our study of 1 John, the theme is genuine salvation, or we can call it authentic Christianity. And we learn in the first chapter that eternal life, this new life in our Lord Jesus Christ, this new life that believers have in Christ is real. It's not something mystical. It's not something impossible. It is not something just a knowledge floating in our heads, but rather a reality. And this only can be real if we are truly born again in Christ. And it is only through Him that believers have the fullness of life and joy even while living in this sin-cursed world. Our subject this afternoon, as our brother John has mentioned, is Christian fellowship. And it concerns actually Christian love. So the Apostle John here continues this theme and describes to us the reality of this life in the Lord Jesus Christ with three words he used repeatedly in this chapter. And that is, the three words are love, life, and light. Three L's. Love, life, and light. In fact, he devotes himself to three sections of this letter to the subject of Christian love, or the subject of Christian fellowship. And he explains that love, life, and light, these three belong together. You will see this in this three sections of this letter, from 1 John chapter 2, 7 to 11, chapter 3, 10 to 24, chapter 4, 7 to 21. This afternoon, our present study will be 7 to 11 of 1 John chapter 2. And in this section, we will learn how Christian love is affected by light and darkness, or how Christian fellowship is affected by light and darkness. A Christian who is walking in the light, it simply means he or she is disobeying God's law, disobeying God's word. A Christian who is walking in the light simply means he is walking in obedience to God, not disobedience. My pardon for that. He is obeying God, and he is walking in the light. And a Christian who is walking in the light is going to love, or have love, for his or her fellow Christian or fellow believers. In 1 John 3, 10 to 24, we are told that Christian love is a matter of life and death, and that is how serious it is. But very often we take it very lightly and very casually, that if I am not in talking terms, or I don't really love my brethren, it's all right. It is something very trivial. It doesn't matter. But no, when we see from scripture here, actually Christian love towards one another in the eyes of God is a matter of life and death. To live in hatred is to live in spiritual death. In 1 John 4, 7 to 21, we see that Christian love is not only a matter of life and death, but a matter of truth and error. Because we know God's love towards us, and therefore we show God's love towards others. And this is what we are commanded to do as believers. In these three sections, then, we are going to find three good reasons why Christians should love one another. Three good reasons why Christians should love one another. The first is God, as I said, God has commanded us to love. 1 John 2, 7 to 21. And then the next reason, the second reason, is we have been born of God. and God's love lives or dwell in us. 1 John 3:10 to 24. And then the third reason, God first revealed his love to us in 1 John 4:7 to 21, we are told. We love because he first loved us. And these are the three main reasons true Christians love one another. The Apostle John not only writes about love, but he also practices love. And one of his favorite names for his reader is Beloved. John is known as the Apostle of Love because in his Gospel and in his epistles, the letters that he wrote, he gives such prominence to this subject of love, of Christian fellowship. However, the Apostle John was not always the Apostle of Love. And he has to learn that, and he has to cultivate that. At one time, as you may know, Jesus gave John, this same John that we are right now looking at his writing in 1 John, Jesus gave John and his brother James, both of whom actually had very hot tempers. They are nicknamed called Boanerges in Mark chapter 3 verse 17, which means son of thunder. On another occasion, these two brothers wanted to call down fire and brimstone from heaven to destroy a village, those who unbelieve and reject the gospel. You see this or read this in Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 56. Since the New Testament was written in Greek, the writers were often able to use precise language. It is unfortunate that in our English, we have the word love, and love has many shades of meaning. Some of them are contradictory. When we read in 1 John about love, the Greek word, as some of you may know, is used as agape, the word for God's love towards men. And then you have another Greek word, which we also translated as love in our English, is Christian love for other Christians, phileo, the love between fellow men. So there is this word, and of course this word elsewhere, phileo, is also used that has the idea of friendship love, that kind of love, which is not as profound or divine as agape love. The Greek word for sensual love, there's another Greek word for it, is called eros, from which we get our word erotic. It's not used in the Old, in the New Testament, but there is such a Greek word. Christian love is both old and new. Look at verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Love itself, of course, is not new, nor is the commandment that man love God and each other. It's not a new thing. Jesus himself combined two Old Testament commandments in Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19 verse 18 and said, these two commandments summarize all the law and the prophets. In Mark, he said this in Mark 12:28-34. Loving God and loving one's neighbor were old, familiar responsibilities before Jesus ever came to the earth. So in what sense then is love one another a new commandment? in 1 John 2:8. Again, a look at the Greek word will help to answer this question. You see, the Greeks has two different words for new. One word in Greek, new, means new in time. The other means new in quality. So the commandment to love one another is not new in time, but it is new in character. Because of the Lord Jesus, the Old Testament commandment to love one another has now taken on a new meaning. We learn this five brief verses, 7 to 11, that the commandment is new in three important ways. Firstly, my first heading, it is new in emphasis, or new in importance, or new in value. In the previous paragraph, 1 John 2, 3 to 6, the apostle has been talking about the commandments in general. But now he narrows his focus down to one single commandment. In the Old Testament, the commandment that God's people love one another was only one of many. But now this Old Testament, this Old Commandment is lifted out and given a place of prominence or a place of emphasis. How is it possible for one commandment to stand head and shoulders above all the other commandments? All the other commandments. And this explained by the fact that love is the fulfillment of God's law. We know this in Romans 13, verses 8 to 10. Let me illustrate. Parents must care for their children according to the law. Children neglect is a serious criminal offense. But generally speaking, and we all know, do parents love and care for their children out of the fear of the law? Out of fear of being arrested and thrown into prison? Parents fulfill their responsibilities, and even though we must admit, sometimes grudgingly, because we are very tired and big people, but they fulfill their responsibility because they love, husband and wife love one another, and they love their children. To do them is doing the right thing. It's not a matter of law. It is a matter of love, isn't it? The commandment, love one another, is the fulfillment of God's law in the same way. When you love people, you do not lie about them or steal from them. You have no desire to kill them or to harm them or to hurt them. Love for God and love for others motivates a person to obey God's commandments without even thinking about it, isn't it? It is like second nature, so to speak. When a person acts out of Christian love, he or she obeys God and serves others or minister to others, not because of fear, but because of love. And this is why John says that love one another is a new commandment. New in the sense that it is new in emphasis. It is given a place of prominence right now by our Lord Jesus. New in the sense of the force. It is not simply one of many commandments now. No, it stands on the top of the list of all the commandments. This commandment to love one another. But it is new in emphasis in another way too. It stands at the very beginning of the Christian life. Once upon a time, before you were a Christian, you have no care and no love for others, or particularly your Christian friends, because you are not in the same family. The old commandment is the word which you had from the beginning. That's what John say in 1 John 2:7. I write no a new commandment unto you, but an old one which you had from the beginning. This phrase "from the beginning" is used in two different ways in John's letter, and it is important to distinguish them. In 1 John 1:1, describing the eternity of Christ, we read that he existed from the beginning in 1 John 1:1. A parallel verse we read, in the beginning was the Word of God, that is in the Gospel of John. But in 1 John 2:7, the subject is the beginning of the Christian life. The commandment to love one another is not an appendix to our Christian experience, as though God had an afterthought. No, it is in our hearts right from the beginning of our faith in Jesus Christ. When we became Christians, the Holy Spirit, through the work of the Holy Spirit, there is this consciousness or this love. Of course, it may be weak, but as time goes by, it will grow stronger. This love for one another in the Lord Jesus, fellow Christians. If it were not so, John could not have wrote or written, "We know that we have passed from death unto life." How do you know that you are passed from death unto life? Because we love the brethren. And this is found in 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life, meaning to say eternal life before you became a Christian and after you became a Christian. How do you know? Because we love the brethren. 1 John 3:14. And Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have loved one to another." John 13 verse 35. When a sinner trusts Christ, he receives a new life and a new nature. The Holy Spirit comes to live in him or her, and then the love of God is shed abroad in his or her heart by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of love, the Holy Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is to shed or to fill the heart of a believer. Romans 5:5. God does not have to give a new believer a long lecture about love. "For ye yourselves are taught of God," that is by the Holy Spirit within you, to do what? "Ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." 1 Thessalonians 4:9. A new believer discovers now that he hates what he used to love and that he loves what he used to hate. So the commandment to love one another is new in emphasis. It is one of the most important of all the commandments Christ gave us. In fact, love one another is repeated at least a dozen times in the New Testament. For example, in John 13:34, John 15 verse 9, John 15 verse 12, Romans 13 verse 8, 1 Thessalonians 4:9, 1 Peter 1:22, 1 John 3:11, 1 John 3:23, 1 John 4:7, and so on. And there are many other more references to brotherly or Christian love or Christian fellowship. Let us understand that true Christian love is not a shallow, sentimental emotion that Christians try to work up in their brain so that they can get along with each other. It is more than that, my friends. It is a matter of the will. It is a matter of the heart. There is an intent or an intention rather than an emotion, an affection for, an attraction to certain person. It is a matter of determining, of making up your mind that you will let God's love to flow through you to reach others through and by the Holy Spirit. And then of acting towards them in loving ways, action. You are not to act as if you love them, but because you love them. I repeat, you are not to act. You are not to act as if you love them, but because you truly love them. And this is not hypocrisy. It is obedience to God. Perhaps the best explanation of Christian love is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that you know very well. In that chapter, the full force of that passage is Christian life without love is nothing. is vanity, is zero. But the commandment, love one another, is not only new in emphasis, it is new in another way. We move on to the second heading. It is new in example, not just new in emphasis, but new in example. Love one another, the Apostle John points out, was first true in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then now it is true in the lives of those who are trusting in Christ. Jesus himself is the greatest example of this commandment. For Christ is the embodiment of God's love. God is love, 1 John 4:8. When one looks at the Lord Jesus, one sees love embodied and exemplified. In commanding us to love, Jesus does not ask us to do something that he has not already done himself. The four gospel records are the account of a life lived in the spirit of love. And that life was lived under conditions far from ideal. The Lord Jesus says to us, in effect, I live by this great commandment and I can enable you to follow my example. How? Through his Holy Spirit. And then Jesus illustrated love by the very life that he lived, isn't it? He never showed hatred or malice. His righteous soul hated all the sin and disobedience, yet he pronounced the woe to the Pharisees and those of the scribes for their sin, for their hypocrisy. Even in his righteous announcement of judgment, there was always an undercurrent of love. It is encouraging to think of Christ's love for the 12 disciples. Have you considered that before? How they must have broken Christ's heart again and again as they argue over who was the greatest, or they try to keep people away from seeing Jesus, their master. Each of them was different from the other in their character, and Christ's love was broad enough to include each one in a personal understanding way. For example, he was very patient with Peter's impulsiveness. And Jesus was very gracious and loving towards Thomas' unbelief. In fact, many Bible commentators have said that if not for the mercy and the love of God upon doubting Thomas, he being an apostle and he knows the word of God and he knows the gospel better, having spent about 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus and he doubted, it is indeed amazing that God showed mercy upon him and did not strike him down immediately for his unbelief. And so you see how gracious and merciful and loving God is to his disciples. And when Jesus commanded his disciples to love one another, he was not telling them to do as he was only telling them to do as he had done. Follow my example, he said. Consider too also the Lord Jesus' love for all kinds of people. When you read your Bible, did you not notice, for example, the publicans, the sinners, they were attracted to Jesus, Luke 15 verse 1, attracted by his love. And even the lowest of the low would weep at Jesus' feet, Luke 7, 36 to 39. Jesus spoke to the children or spoke about the children at play. He even comforted the women who wept as the soldiers led him out to Calvary. Perhaps the greatest thing about Jesus' love was the way it touched even the lives of his enemies. He looked with loving pity on the religious leaders who in their spiritual blindness accused him of being collaborating with Satan. We see this in Matthew 12:24. When the mob came to arrest him, he could have called the armies of heaven, legions of them. But he yielded to his enemies. And then he died for them and for his enemies. Greater love hath no man than this, that the man laid down his life for his friend. John 15:13. But Jesus died not only for his friends, but also for his enemies. As they crucified him, what did he pray? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In his life, in his teaching, in his death, Jesus is the perfect example of this new commandment, love one another. And this is what helps to make the commandment new. In Christ, we have a new illustration of the old truth that God is love, and that that life of love is a life of joy and victory. What is true in Christ, therefore, ought to be true in each believer. As he is, so we are in this world. 1 John 4:17. A believer should and ought to live a life of Christian love. Why? Because, as I said just now, in 1 John 2:8, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. If you say that you are a believer, why is that enmity with that fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in your heart? And that is why you see this repeated, this phrase repeated in first John. If we confess. This reminds us of that emphasis, walking in the light. Two ways of life are contrasted. Genuine Christian will, with the help of the Holy Spirit, strive to walk in the light, practice love. Those who walk in darkness, practice hatred. It's as simple as that. There's no neutral ground. There's no pretense. There's no halfway. You are either this side or that side. And so, honestly, we really have to ask ourselves, if we harbor hatred and dislike for one another in the Lord, and we say that we are Christian, I suggest that we really sit down and prayerfully seek the Lord's help with the conviction of the Holy Spirit to really, really examine in the light of Scripture, am I really a born-again Christian? Do I really have the Holy Spirit in my heart? The kingdom of Christ and of Satan are in conflict since the beginning. And the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, says Solomon in Proverbs 4:18. Thank the Lord Jesus that darkness is passing away little by little, and the true light is shining brighter and brighter in our hearts, the hearts of the believer. How? By the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Christ is the standard of love for Christians. A new commandment I gave unto you, that ye love one another. He says, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And he repeats it again. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. John 15:12. We are not to measure our Christian love against the love of some other Christian, but against the love of Christ, our Lord Jesus. The old commandment become new to us as we see it fulfilled in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the commandment, love one another, is new in emphasis, new in example. And now we move on to the third good example. It is new in experience. And this is from verses 9 to 11. Our passage continues the illustrations of light and darkness. If a Christian walks in the light, or should I say, if a Christian strives to walk in the light, I know it is difficult to walk in the light. I'm not ignorant of it, brethren and friends in the Lord. I know. And I know that very often we always will use that as an excuse. Oh, I'm a weak Christian, and that is why. Oh, Jesus is very understanding to me, therefore, you know, cannot blame me. Let me grow. Then I will try to, you know, love and make up with that person. we are lying to ourselves. We are living in delusion. If a Christian walks in the light and is in fellowship with God, he or she will also be in fellowship with others in God's family. Love and light go together, as I said before, much as hatred and darkness go together. There is no middle ground. There is no yes, I love, but. It's either you love or you don't love. That's all. It is easy, of course, as I said, it is easy to talk about Christian love, but much more difficult to practice it. And as I say, brethren, I'm not ignorant of it. For one thing, such love is not mere talk, as we are told in 1 John 2:9. For a Christian to say or to sing that he loves the brethren while he actually hates another believer is for him to or for her to lie. In other words, this is a very sobering thought or sobering truth. In other words, I want to point out to this, and listen to me very carefully, brethren. It is possible to be in fellowship with the Father or God the Father and out of fellowship with another Christian at the same time. So don't fool yourself. It is possible. You may still be a born-again Christian, but living carnally. It is possible to be in fellowship with God the Father and out of fellowship with one another or another Christian at the same time. And this is why, or one reason why God established the local church, the fellowship of believers. Why? Because you can't be a, or you cannot be a Christian alone. A believer cannot live meaningful, purposeful life that glorifies God and growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ unless he or she is in the same time or at the same time in fellowship with God's people. The Christian life has two relationships. The vertical, God's word, and the horizontal, man's word. And you see this in the commandments. In the Ten Commandments, I'm referring to the Decalogue. First four teaches us relationship with God. The rest, relationship with man. And so the Christian life has two relationships. And God and Jesus deal with this matter in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:21-26. A gift on the altar was of no value as long as the believer or the worshipper had a dispute to settle with his brother. Note that the Lord Jesus does not say that the worshipper had something against his brother, but that the brother had something against the worshipper. So, even when we have been offended or hurt or wronged by someone, we should not wait for the person to come to apologize. We should, out of love and concern for the spiritual well-being of the person, to go to him or her. If we do not, Jesus warns us that we will end up in a prison of spiritual judgment. Matthew 18:21-35. In other words, when we harbor an unforgiving, unloving spirit, we harm ourselves most, and we shame the name of Christ. The contrast between saying and doing, if we say, is one we have already considered before. It is easy to practice Christianity of words, singing the right hymns, using the right vocabulary, or giving textbook answer, the right textbook answer from the Bible, saying the right prayer, and through it all, doing all this, and yet, deceiving ourselves into thinking that we are Christians. This misconception also ties into something Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. What we say should be the true expression of our character or our Christian character. We should not need extra words, oaths, which I mentioned this morning, to fortify what we say. Our yes should be mean yes, our no should mean no. If we say we are in the light, we will prove it. How? By loving the brethren and fellow believers. contrary to popular opinion, Christian love is not blind, which is true. And it's the same for those two persons falling in love. And you generally will hear the saying, love is blind. Actually, it's not true. Love is not blind, but lovers are. Christian love is not blind. When we practice Christian love, we find life getting brighter and brighter. Hatred is what darkness, hatred is what darkens life. When true Christian love flows out of from our hearts, we will give a greater understanding and perception in spiritual things. And this is why Paul prays what? That our love may grow in knowledge and perception. What ye may prove things that are excellent, or rather, that ye may prove things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Philippians 1 verse 9 to 10. A Christian loves his or her brother is a Christian who sees the gospel more clearly, more deeply, more fully. No book in the Bible illustrates the blinding power of hatred like the book of Esther. I would suggest that you study that book and you will see for yourself how the power of hatred can drive a man or a person to such cruelty, blinded by power of hatred. Hatred continues to blind people today, and sadly we see it even in the church. And of course, of recent days, you know what is going on the streets here in this country and in all this America. Christian love is not a shallow sentiment, a passing emotion that we perhaps experience in a church worship service. Christian love is a practical thing. It applies in the everyday affairs of our life as Christians. Just consider, if you have not, I suggest that you do another study of this beside the book of Esther. Just do the study of the one another statements in the New Testament. And I just want to highlight a few for you. The one another statement. Wash one another's feet. John 13 verse 14. Prefer one another. Romans 12:10. Be of the same mind one to another. Romans 12:16. Do not judge one another. Romans 14 verse 13. Receive one another. Romans 15 verse 7. Admonish one another. Romans 15 verse 14. Edify or build up one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Bear one another's burden. Galatians 6:2. Confess your faults to one another. James 5:16. Use hospitality to one another. 1 Peter 4:9. And there are many others. In short, brethren, to love other Christians means to treat them the way God treats them. I repeat, in short, to love one another, to show Christian love, to have genuine Christian fellowship means to treat the other brethren, brother or sister in Christ, the way God treats them. And the way God treats you or treats us. Christian love that does not show itself in action and in attitude is false, is spurious, is vanity, is a lie. What happens to a believer who does not love the brethren? We have already seen the first tragic result. What happened to a believer who does not love the brethren? We have already seen the first result. The first result is he or she lives in darkness, though he probably thinks that he is not, that he thinks that he is living in the light. He thinks he sees, but he's actually blinded by the darkness of hatred. He may read the Bible faithfully and pray fervently, but there is hatred in his heart or her heart. He is living in a lie. The second tragic is that such believer becomes a cause of stumbling to others, other believers. It is bad enough when an unloving believer hurts him or herself. But when he or she starts to hurt others, the situation is far more serious. It is serious to walk in the darkness. It is dangerous to walk in the darkness when stumbling blocks are in the way. An unloving brother or a sister stumbles he or herself, and in addition, it causes others to stumble. The best way, beloved, to help other Christians not to stumble, very simple, but hard to practice, is to love them. If you do not want to be a stumbling block to other believers, then start to love them. Pray and ask for your hope, for the help of the Holy Spirit to do so. Pray that the Holy Spirit will impress upon your heart the love of God for you, undeserving sinner, wretched, wicked sinner. How would a holy God love you, such sinner, and you continue to sin against God even as a believer? And if God impressed that more and more upon your heart to see your own sinfulness, or as what the Puritan says, the sinfulness of sin, then you will be able to love. Then you will not look at the other person or the other brother and sisters in Christ with that very critical look, because you first see that lock in your own eye before you see the speck in the brother's eye. Love makes stepping stones, or makes us stepping stones. Hatred makes us stumbling block. It is important that Christians exercise love in a local church, or else there will always be problem and disunity in the body of Christ. When we are falling over each other instead of lifting each other higher, we will never become a truly blessed spiritual family. The third tragic of hatred is that it retards or hinders or stifles a believer's spiritual progress. 1 John 2:11. A blind person, a person who is walking in darkness, can never find his way out. The only atmosphere that is conducive to spiritual growth and spiritual maturity is the atmosphere of spiritual light, of love. Just as the fruits and flowers need sunshine, so God's people need love if they are going to grow spiritually. The commandment, love one another, becomes new to us in our day-to-day experience. It is not enough for us to recognize that it is new in empathy and say, yes, love is important. Nor is it enough for us to see God's love exemplified in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must know this love in an experiential way, in our own experience, in our daily life. The old commandment, love one another, becomes a new commandment as we practice or live out God's love in our daily life as believers. The Christian life, the life that is real, the life that has that reality of God in him or her, is only possible and in through the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. If you are outside of Christ, if you are not a believer, it is impossible, and it is definitely, you are not able to love with such kind of love. The Holy Spirit takes the old things or the old nature and makes it into a new thing in our experience. He is the one who can take the old truth and make it fresh and new in our daily experience at this present time. The life that is real, having God as a reality in our life, is an honest life. A life that is doing and not merely saying. It is a life of active love in Christ. And it means forgiveness. It means kindness. It means long-suffering. It means forbearance. But it also means joy and peace and victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is only possible if you and I who say or who profess that we are believers, then we must prayerfully seek the Lord's help, that the Holy Spirit will work in us to fill us more and more with the love of Christ. That in the first place we must know, truly, am I truly a born again believer? Or I think I am only a believer. Or I profess that I'm only a believer. But I'm actually not. So may the Lord help us and speak to us in our hearts. Let us pray. Our gracious loving Father, we seek for your mercy as we see, Lord, in our days and sadly in our church, in so many churches, in the body of Christ, such hatred, such disunity, all this quarrel, all this misunderstanding, is all because of our pride. All because we are not willing to submit and to surrender our lives to thee. It is all because we are not willing to give up, to surrender, to submit ourselves to the will of God. We are blinded by our pride. The I, me, and mine is so prominent in our eyes that we are blinded. Oh Father, we pray for your Spirit indeed to speak to the hearts of every one of your children, young and old. That Lord, your Spirit will prick our hearts indeed and grant us indeed, if we are truly believers, grant us indeed no peace and no rest till we repent, till we are willing, Lord, to humble ourselves, to obey thee, to love one another with the help of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord, we acknowledge that in and of ourselves, we will have no strength, no power to do so. And we struggle. Oh Lord, we pray that you will remove from our hearts such hatred or enmity or dislike that we have with one another in the Lord, but that you will fill our hearts more and more, Lord, with the love of Christ, that we may daily grow to love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ genuinely, sincerely. Oh, help us, we pray, that thou will indeed, Lord, make this possible, not only in the lives, not only in our congregation, but in the life of all your people, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, who are called by thy name in every nation. So help us, O Lord, we pray, that we may live lives that truly glorify thy holy name, life of joy, life of peace in our Lord Jesus, which is possible if only we turn to thee. So help us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.